Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 here this afternoon. I hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Lutz. It was a pleasure to be out at his church last Monday. Had the opportunity to go out there and spend a couple of hours talking on church history, and in particular Baptist church history. And that's not what I was planning on getting into here today, but I was just going to tell you what I told them, that when you look at church history, most church history that you see is actually Catholic history. And then when you're looking at the Protestant churches, you're looking at their history since the Reformation. Prior to that, it's Catholic church history. But when you look at the Baptists, you look at history that exists, a line of churches that existed alongside of the Catholic Church and even prior to the Catholic churches, all the way back to the first century, because, of course, the Catholic Church organized itself pretty much in the fourth century, I believe it was. But anyway, so that's a whole other thing, because Baptists aren't Protestants. They predated the Protestant Reformation. They predated the Catholic Church. But that's a whole other thing. We had a great time out at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. And so if you're out there on the west side of Cleveland and you're looking for a church out there, western Cuyahoga County, out in that direction, you can certainly check out the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Just go online, search for them, you'll find them pretty quick. And of course, if you're listening to Pastor Lutz's program, you've probably heard the address there too. All right. And then, of course, after us coming up will be Pastor Andy Resnacko, and looking forward to being out there with them tomorrow evening. And, of course, they're out at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. And you can, if you're out on the west side or out toward even out into Lake County and everything out that way, because Euclid and then not too far after that, you're into Lake County and Wycliffe and all that out there. But a great church out on the west side of Cuyahoga County, west side of Cleveland, or I'm sorry, east side, said west. Pastor Lutz is on the west side. Pastor Resnacko is on the east side. And again, that's a great church. And then, of course, we're south of Cuyahoga County, down in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we have our Bible study tonight. Last week we did something a little different than usual. I was unable to be there, but the folks that were there watched a showing of The Printing. And The Printing is a great movie. If you've not seen it, it's based on some the events portrayed in it. Many of them are based on true events, but it's a story that was written, of course. It was a fictional story, but the events are based on things that actually happened in the Soviet Union during the 1980s, underground church trying to worship, being persecuted by the communist government there in Russia, and also the efforts to print Bibles that had been banned in the Soviet Union. And so it's a great movie. Go online, search for it, The Printing. You can find it. Some of it is available online. I think you can watch for free at different sites. But anyway, just remember The Printing. All right. And, of course, we'll be back there tonight and talk about different things that are happening, talk about things that are happening in the world, and questions about the Bible, and questions about current events in light of God's Word. And just like we do on our Sunday night program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, every Sunday night right here on this station, AM 1220 The Word, from 11 o'clock until midnight, and we'll be back on with that. Also, let's see, I want to mention something as well. We'll be touching on it here in the coming weeks. I'm going to have a guest talking about House Bill 411, 411. And it's a bill introduced to ban discrimination on the basis of vaccine status or non-vaccine status in Ohio. And, of course, House Bill 248, which seeks to do many of the same things, unfortunately is not seeming to get out of committee. They're dragging their feet on it, and so 411 may be a replacement. It may be something they learn from some of the things they went through with 248 and be able to get this one through faster. And hopefully, so pray about that. We'll be talking about these bills. It's important to what's happening in our state house. And of course, the new district maps are out. You can go online, go to ohio.gov, especially if you go to like Secretary of State's office or something there. You can view the new maps for the state House and Senate districts. The new map for the U.S. congressional districts in Ohio is not yet done and out, but hopefully that will be soon. And speaking of that, Laverne Gore, who is a candidate for the 11th district in a special election we had back in August. Of course, she won the Republican nomination, and she's going to be with us sometime in the next few weeks prior to the election. She'll be on the ballot this November, filling the seat vacated by Marcia Fudge, who was put into the cabinet as Secretary I believe it's HUD, Housing and Urban Development. But at any rate, we'll be talking about some of those things in the future. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about us, more about the program, and listen to past programs and other things all at livewithpastoral.com. Also, some links to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, all at livewithpastoral.com, as well as some of our social media pages and things that you can find from there as well. All right, well, we're going to get into some things here this afternoon, and there was a major election in Canada, and this I see that Terry has called in. He's our Canadian listener, and he keeps us updated on some of the things that are happening in Canada as well. And so we'll go ahead and get Terry on the line here. Terry, welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon, Pastor L.
Well, good afternoon. I see some, well, we had hoped that we would see better results on Prime Minister, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, so
it became a minority government, so that's a good
thing. Now, again, because here in the United States, we're operated on, you know, a bicameral system with a House and a Senate, and that forms our legislative body. And then, of course, the executive is under the president, and we have the judicial. But in terms of the executive, it's different than in Canada, where you're under a parliamentary system. And the party that holds the, if I'm getting this correct, the party that holds the majority in the parliament is where the prime minister comes from. But if there's no clear majority, they have to cobble together an alliance, don't they?
Right. Yep. He's not alone.
Right.
In the government, he has to deal with other people.
Right. And so by not getting a clear majority, that's going to limit some of the things he can do, will it?
Right. Which is a good thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. And that's the
opposition.
Yeah. And that's the reason why we have, you know, the legislative and the executive separated in the United States, you know, kind of checks and balances. And of course, you know, in a situation like what you have in Canada, that's a check and a balance on power too, when they don't have the majority like that. So what happened in Canada?
Well, Trudeau won, unfortunately, mm-hmm. But the good news is he didn't get the minority of the. He got the minority vote, not the major votes.
Right, so that'll kind of hem him in. Now, the last time that he stood for election, how did that, was he, did they have a majority then?
I think it was a majority of the seats last time.
So this would show or suggest that the conservatives are gaining a little strength in Canada?
Yes, they were they were pretty high up there, but they didn't win enough seats to win, of course. But, one thing that I was wrong about, you talked about Bernier. And he did run, but he didn't have no chance.
Yeah, because I had seen an article that had referenced him. And another question that I was going to have, too, I see somebody else calling in with a Bible question here, but I was going to ask another question, too, before we change over. But I saw a thing. There was a very left-leaning pro-Islamic minister, I guess, that lost her seat.
Yeah. And, Bernie, I'm not sure about exactly about that, but Bernie was against allowing everybody into the country. And that's what Trudeau's doing. He's just letting everybody in, a lot of people into the country. And it's God, there's so many false religions here because of that. So I can understand why people would want to get out of their country and get into and come here. I can understand that.
Yes.
But the problem is the false religions that are here.
I know a large Islamic number of Islamic people have come into Canada.
And he's also against the lockdown for pandemic lockdown and climate change. He was against the climate change and the lockdown, and he's a lot like. I guess I should have voted for him. I didn't, but I should have.
Yeah, well, I know there were a couple of...
He would have made a better candidate.
Yeah, so I know there were a couple of conservative-leaning candidates there. When we look at that, we certainly pray for Canada, and we have a number of listeners in Canada, and so I appreciate some of the information you were able to share and all. Did you have another thought on there? Because, like I said, I got another caller once calling with a Bible question here as well today. Yeah.
No, I just was going to mention that I really enjoy listening to Pastor Lutz.
Yes.
I actually look forward to listening to him and every Sunday, every Friday afternoon.
I always encourage people to take a listen as well. So and
what
Pastor
to say today.
Yeah, and also Pastor Risnacko after. So
yes, I listen to all three of them.
Yeah,
three of you guys.
Yeah, so I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. So.
Yep. So I'll let you take your other caller.
All right, Terry. Well, thank you for calling in with some of the updates on the Canadian election. I know we talked about that quite a bit last Sunday night, and the election, of course, was Monday, I believe it was, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so again, we'll pray, and hopefully that signals some gains on the Conservatives in Canada, even though they did not take the Prime Minister position, but at least some gains there. So. All right. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate that.
Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I've got John calling with a question here today as well. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor. My question comes to you out of Genesis chapter 6, and I'm probably sure you've had this question 1,000 times, but it says in chapter 1 and 2, or verse 1 and 2, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." I heard a preacher preach that the sons of God were fallen angels that took these wives. But I know that in the Bible it says that the angels are not married or given in marriage. So I went and researched this a little bit, and in one of the genealogies in the Gospels, it says, this man was the son of this man, and so on and so forth. In the very end, it says, and Seth was the son of Adam, who was the son of God.
Right.
So I'm thinking that the sons of God are actually men who may have taken a wife like Israel took wives from the Philistines, or they took wives out of their own, out of their own tribes. And I was just wondering, who are the sons of God?
And when you look at this here in Genesis chapter 6, this phrase, the sons of God, and when we read this, it says, again, in verse 1, "It came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took them wives of all which they chose." It's interesting when you look at this. Jesus in the Gospels, he actually warned that before his return. In Luke chapter 17, okay, verse 26, he says, "As it was in the days of Noah," which is Noah, "so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." And it's also repeated, I think, in one of the other Gospels in a reference. And you look at the time of Noah, and, you know, it was marked by violence and people, you know, doing evil, going contrary to God. Because here in Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so we see that today. But another thing that was happening, and this is where I think the sons of men and daughters of God, or I'm sorry, sons of God and daughters of men come in, is when it says in verse 3, verse 4, it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bear children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." And you'll hear people talk about the Nephilim being these giants. And so again, one of the theories is that they were of the, you know, the sons of God were the line of Seth, in that sense, you know, who was a son of Adam, who's described as a son of God because God created him directly. And as opposed to being an angel or a fallen angel, but we have over in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." And then also in chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." And then one more in Job, where Job says in Job chapter 38, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." In these three verses, sons of God refers to angels directly. See what we have here?
Right.
As opposed to men. And this is what I believe is happening. And actually, on my website, livewithpastoral.com, I have an article there, as in the days of Noah, where I go into this in some detail. I believe what was happening, I don't believe that the angels took on a human body and then produced children with the daughters of men, which would have been human women. I think what they did is they possessed certain human men and then used those unions to produce children, in a sense, in a way to muddy the DNA of the human race. Because remember, God had told Adam in chapter 3, he told Adam and Eve about the first promise of a coming Messiah, where it says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, it's 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is considered the first prophecy of a coming Messiah, the seed of the woman, because God was going to become a human being and dwell among us. And so when we look in Genesis chapter 6, I think another clue is in verse 9, where it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I think when it says perfect in his generations, doesn't mean that every single person in Noah's family and ancestors and all, every single person of his extended family was perfect, in meaning right with God. I think it means that they were a line that was genetically pure, not contaminated. And so when we get back to the efforts to change the DNA or alter humans, this idea that giants in the earth and mighty men that were born, when we look at that, we see that human beings have taken various animals, everything from dogs to horses to cattle, and we bred everything from, if you look at dogs, we bred certain dogs to be very small, like a Chihuahua or a little Yorkshire right. Terrier, and we bred them to be very giant, like a Great Dane or English Mastiff or something like that. And we've done the same thing with horses, everything from a little pony all the way up to a draft horse, you know, a giant workhorse, Clydesdale horse of that sort, you know. And we see this with a number of animals that we've done this. And I think they were trying to do this. And again, this reflects back on Jesus saying, as in the days of Noah, because we actually see attempts today, they call it transhumanism, trying to alter the human species. The Chinese have done a lot of experiment with this. And one thing we've learned from the Fauci tape, so to speak, there was a massive amount of information, 900 pages or so, a Freedom of Information Act from actually a left-leaning publication trying to prove that Fauci did not give money to the Chinese, to the Wuhan lab, to do gain-of-function research and with viruses. And actually, they got back 900 pages of information which said that he absolutely did send money to the Wuhan lab and the Chinese. But there's other things that the Chinese have been doing with money from Europe, money from people, unfortunately, here in the States, to alter human beings. They've actually put human DNA inside of mice and monkeys and things like that. And then there's talk about putting DNA from other animals and things into human beings. The Chinese have supposedly looked at this as the possibility of creating super soldiers. Soldiers that would be less fearful, not need as much sleep, be stronger, have greater physical stamina, and also things like giving us the ability to see in the ultraviolet range, like a lot of birds and bees and things like that can, and maybe even in the infrared range, and a number of other things by changing our DNA. So what we see is a very similar situation to what was happening back in Genesis chapter 6. You know, the devil, I think, was trying to alter the genetic makeup of the human race in order to keep the Messiah from coming. You know, and that's one of the reasons why God had to get rid of them, not just that they were so much more wicked than we are today, but Noah was perfect in his generations. He had to preserve the human DNA so that the Messiah could be born. That's my thought on that. I think it corresponds to, you know, what was going on in Genesis chapter 6, as well as Jesus warning that it would be like in the days of Noah when he comes back. And we see that happening today, the very real threat that somebody is going to do something that's going to alter the DNA, the genetic makeup of human beings.
Yeah, because he also said that about the giants in the earth, mm-hmm. that Goliath of Gath could have been was the product of one of these unions, and that he was produced to strictly stand against God and God's people.
Yeah, so there's a false teaching out there, false belief, and it can be disproved by the Bible, that the Nephilim survived the flood. You know, the Nephilim were the sons of the children of the offspring between fallen angels and human women. And the problem with that is God said that the breath, that everything that had breath in it would die from the flood. And in fact, in chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, it says, and I know we're coming up on the end here, and all flesh that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and every creeping thing that creep upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. So, you know, Goliath would not have been a descendant of the Nephilim before the flood, but, you know, it could be that the devil tried some more after the flood, resulting in them as well. But yeah, it's a good question, John. I appreciate that today. And thanks for the call.
I'm a little bit more informed now than yeah. they better said.
Well, check out my article, As in the Days of Noah, at livewithpastoral.com. I go into a lot more detail there. But appreciate the call. And again, I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you have a great week this weekend. God bless. Take care. See you next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.